Next step, number 632, July 16, 2020.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the next step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
How low can you get? Let's start off right there, okay? How low can you get? Woke up this morning with pictures coming in from Armenia. They bombed a kindergarten. I mean, wild. How low can you get? I mean, all of war, disgusting, but how could you bomb a kindergarten? Yes, war. Again, once again, that word is creeping into our vocabulary. It's been there. It's been in the background, too. But a few days ago, the Azeris hit on the Armenians. This is over this small little area called Nagorno-Karabakh on the international scene. For us, it's called Artsakh. This is an area that's inhabited by 99% Armenian. Come on, I know they give you some wild statistic about 90. It really is 99% Armenian. I've been there twice, and what's unusual about it is when you drive in there, you can't fly in there. They have a beautiful airport, by the way, but the Azeris have said that if any plane flies in there, they will shoot it down. So this little area is right on the border of Armenia and Azerbaijan. And so when you get there with your car on the main road, there's a checkpoint and you have to show your passport and get a visa. You can get a visa right on the spot. But here's the interesting thing. They won't stamp it in your passport. Why? Yeah, big question. Why won't they stamp it? Well, because technically that little place, Nagorno-Karabakh, is supposed to be under Azeri rule, Azerbaijan. And the people who are living there have always, like for millennium, been Armenian, and they still are. And so there's this dispute. And, you know, here's the thing. Every few years, it sparks up again. There's troops right there. Armenian troops and Azeri troops. So what was really beautiful a couple days ago when this first started, the Catholicos of all Armenians, His Holiness Garekin II, went and blessed the troops. And in his statement, this is really, really important. And I feel bad because, you know, I've read it in Armenian. And then just right now, as I was getting ready for today's show, I wanted to share this with you. I hit the translation button. And unfortunately, it's a Google translation. So the translation itself doesn't sound good. Okay. So I just want to let you know about that, that this is my translation to it. Basically, His Holiness says, we are Christians, and as Christians, we are for peace and harmony. That's the vocabulary that we speak. We are not people that go after war. We will defend ourselves, but we're not the aggressors. And here we are again. The Azeris aggressively hitting upon the Armenians, and so low that they go after a kindergarten. Here's the thing. What are you going to do? It's a dilemma. It's a moral dilemma. What are you going to do? You're sitting on the other side of the world. What are you going to do? And you've got people there who are fighting the good fight. We've been there. We've seen what happened back in the late 1980s, when the Karabakh movement finally took form. Yeah, we were here in the States, and we were demonstrating. I always remember this. We were demonstrating at the Soviet consulate in San Francisco. Yeah, that's where the demonstration takes place, at the Soviet consulate in San Francisco. Not at Los Angeles City Hall. I don't know where this came from. You know, this idea that you go to some other place and you demonstrate. I realize people are frustrated. They want to do something. I think in Glendale, too, today they're having some kind of silent vigil. But really, what are you going to do? I know, in social media, it's exactly that, right? So you can't get out there and talk to people, so you put it on social media so your friends know how you stand. And if people give you a thumbs up, if they retweet your tweet, you feel like really good. Hey, I did something. But meanwhile, there's people who are dying. There's people who are dying. And I want to share with you some of that frustration, because it's a frustration that comes out especially this week as we're getting ready to celebrate Vartavar. Vartavar, of course, the ancient feast of the pagans, where they would, it was dedicated to Aslig, the goddess Aslig, and they would douse one another with water, or there's some kind of water tradition to it that has gone on until today. You know, in the streets of Yerevan, if you've been there, I doubt this year with the COVID, but definitely in previous years, they would really, you could not stay dry. It will just come and douse you with water. Vartavar, we called it. Actually, what it is the Feast of the Transfiguration. And here's what I want to share with you today. I'm calling it Missing the Point. And I want to start with this place, how we miss the point, and get to the bigger issue of missing the point of the transfiguration, instead opting for some kind of a water fight called Vartavar. And I know this isn't going to be popular, because among Armenians, Vartavar, oh yeah, I'm Vartavar. I have no idea what they're talking about. Oh yeah, I'm Vartavar, yeah. Yeah, we're into Vartavar. Come on! You know, you're talking about an ancient pagan tradition, and you say, well, wait, the Christians came and they took over those pagan traditions. You would not be alive, you would not be here today as an Armenian if it were not for the Christian effect. And that Christian effect was something much greater. It was fighting the war without fighting. And as bizarre as that sounds, I know we're in good company, because the idea of nonviolence, from Leo Tolstoy to Mahatma Gandhi to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, has been implemented successfully. And before all of them, before Tolstoy, there was the Armenian people who had the power of Christ. And that's what I want to share with you. Missing the point and losing it. And it starts off at the story of the Transfiguration. Now, you find this story in a couple of the Gospels, and it's about this event that takes place where Jesus pulls aside three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, and he says, come with me. And he takes them up to this mountaintop. And they're on the top of this mountain, and there he transfigures. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says that He shined, you know, bright light, shine. And this light is beyond what you could imagine, okay? He says it was brighter than the whitest snow. It was brighter than sunlight. Well, yeah. I mean, get with the program. Before there was anything, what was the first day of creation? Let there be light. People forget that. It's on the first day of creation, before there's a sun or before there's a moon, before there's any kind of light-giving energy source, there is light, and that light is pure. Let there be light. And we see at this transfiguration event, Jesus is shining, the light so bright. And so for that one moment, here is the Son of God, God incarnate, the God of the universe, the one who was there at the beginning when he said, let there be light. The one who was there when he said, let there be light, is now here on earth in the presence of these three, shining. He's shining. He's like, it's so bright, they can't see. This is like, yeah, give me the Ray-Bans. And then they don't do any good. A few years ago, we went and saw the eclipse of the sun. And I don't know if you remember, even if you didn't see it, if you remember the hype about getting those special glasses. And Amazon had them for $40 a piece. And you know what they were? They were a cardboard cutout with lenses on them. $40 for a piece of cardboard with dark glasses. So how else could you see this? Well, they told us. I remember in elementary school, there was an eclipse at that time too. They said the way to watch this would be to take a tire. This is going to date me. Before there was tubeless tires, there was something called a tube. It went inside of the tire. Very thick rubber. Black rubber. I mean, it was so thick, if you could imagine this, you know, very thick. Imagine like the sole of your shoe, you know, if you have rubber soles on your shoe. Yeah, imagine how thick that is. Well, they said if you wanted to watch the sun eclipse, you would hold this tire, you would stretch it out, and that thickness of the black rubber would protect your eyes. Yeah, that's how you would watch the sun. So here in the presence of these three human beings, Peter, John, and James, Jesus is transfigured. In Armenian, we call it Baytzara Gerbutyun. Baytzara means bright. Baytzara Gerbutyun. Ayla Gerbutyun. Ayla means to be transfigured, okay? And they're standing there, and all of a sudden, a voice from heaven is heard. It says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now this in effect would be just like, whoa, okay, there's nobody else I'm going to listen to. But who is that listened to, directed to? Well, scripture says there's two other guys there. One of them is Moses and one of them is Elijah. And they're standing there. And in the midst of them is Jesus Christ, transfigured completely, blinding light. And to Moses and to Elijah, listen to him. This is my beloved son. Well, who are Moses and who are Elijah? Moses, of course, the symbol of the law. Elijah, the symbol of the prophets. So in the middle of the law and the prophets, there is Jesus, transfigured. Those of you who have attended the Divine Liturgy, at the end of the Divine Liturgy, the priest descends from the altar area, and he says, "Gadarum norinatsin markadeits, du es Christos astvats pergichmer." The completion of the law and the prophets. You are Christ, our God. So the law and the prophets are there and proclaiming that listen to him is God the Father saying this. Now these three men who are standing there watching are just, you know, I mean, like, can you imagine you're at one of these events where the God of the universe is revealing himself to you? Can you imagine you're there? Okay, so this is happening. And then what happens? You've got Peter who turns and says, Lord, to Jesus, Would you like me to make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah? What? Yeah, you heard me right. Would you like me to make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah? OMG! FCOL! For crying out loud, what are you talking about? The creator of the universe has just revealed, has just shown himself. And you're getting this thing, and then all, you want me to make some tents? Actually, he goes beyond that. He says, you know, it's good that we're here. It's really good that we're here. I could construct these tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Okay. What did I tell you we're going to talk about? Missing the point. Do you think Peter missed the point there? How many times in our lives do events happen? Does the reality of God touching us, talking to us, happen? And we miss the point. We miss what's going on. I know you, that sounds familiar to what we've been teaching about sin, the German word, missing the mark. Sin is missing the mark. If you've engaged in archery, you know, you have the bow and the arrow, and you try to make that mark, which is called the bullseye. And if you deviate from the center of that mark, that's called a sin. Now, that's a really good way of explaining sin for us in the Christian life, right? Sin is missing the mark. Missing that bullseye. Perfection. And in that sense, we are all sinful, right? We're all far from the mark. We all have our imperfections that prevent us from making that bullseye in our lives. Our angers, our frustrations. And so we're always going to be missing that mark. Okay, now we're talking about missing the point. The transfiguration. This is another way I thought I'd share with you this story of the transfiguration today. It's about missing the point. Peter does that. In this story, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is revealing himself in this bright, bright light that cannot be comprehended beyond our words, beyond our imagination. And Peter says, excuse me, do you want me to build some tents for you? Well, try to think of something comparable. You know, some huge event taking place. And you're just missing the point of that whole thing. Can't think of it? Well, I'm going to share with you the things that happen in our lives. And we miss the point. That's what's coming up next. For right now, while you're contemplating, thinking about this, we're going to take a break and we're going to play a song. And happens to be Vartavar. So why not? Most appropriately, Dikra Namasyan Vartavar. I know we don't get enough opportunities to play this stuff. Enjoy. Dikran Hamasyan. What could be more appropriate than Vartavar? This one is a version, a live version that you heard. It appears on his album Vartavar of the same name. But this one is a 2013. The only descriptor on it is live in the mountains. Pretty cool, huh? Live in the mountains. Dikran Hamasyan. I'll put a link on today's show notes, not only to this video, but I'm also going to put on, I wanted to play this other one, but it's a little bit longer, and that's at the Montreux Jazz Festival. I think you'll enjoy it. And there'll be a link as well to Dikran Hamasyan, really one of my favorite artists when it comes to the fusion of just Armenian with jazz. Wild concepts that get explored and then produced and then are shared with us. I mean, what else can you want in life, huh? I have the show notes. In the show notes today, I'll have a link to Dikran Hamasyan. And I tell you all the time, do support these people. Incredible talent. That it behooves us to take a moment and be supportive of these incredible artists. All right, this one was called Vartavar. It's on the occasion of Vartavar, or what we are talking about today, the Transfiguration. And we're going to be exploring both of those words, Vartavar, Transfiguration, as we continue our discussion about missing the point.
You'll just laugh when I tell you to take a running jump. You're missing the point, I'm sure does not need making. That Christmas spirit is not what you drink.
We're talking about missing the point. We talked a little bit about the Transfiguration story. And Peter's reaction in the midst of this incredible, cataclysmic event. Yes, the creator of the universe is revealing himself as pure light. Purity, the light force, it's right there. And Peter just like hitting him with like a very mundane question. Like, should I prepare some tents? I mean, you know, that's not a bad thing. I mean, it shows that, you know, he was concerned. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying he missed the point, didn't he? Right? I want it very clear because, you know, this is not about, you know, like, oh, wow, what a mistake. It's missing the point. And we do this all the time. And I challenge you to think about, like, what are comparable events? Well, you could think on the very elementary level of going someplace and, you know, missing the point. Going to a baseball game and ending up just eating the hot dogs and being very happy that, you know, you got one of those hot dogs and a Coke. And when somebody says, how was the game? I don't know. I really enjoyed the hot dog. You know, you can't make those at home, but when I eat them in the stands, they're fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it happens. People go for a lot of reasons. I know we're here in Pasadena. We just got word today that the Rose Parade is going to be canceled after 75 years of continuous. It's been 130 years that there's been the Rose Parade, but they stopped it during World War II. And now, 75 years later, it's going to be the first time that they're not going to be having the Rose Parade. So it's big news over here in Pasadena. Got my head to thinking about, you know, that event. And there's just about 1 million people, from 750,000 to 1 million people, come into Pasadena for this event every January 1st. And for the last 23, 4 years that we've been in Pasadena, it's been part of our life, January 1st. Now, you know, that's the parade. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, that we go out there for a lot of reasons. The first few years, oh yeah. Especially when the kids were younger. Yeah, you go out there and you look at the beautiful rose parades. Now there's just the phenomena of the parade, and you just kind of like walk around and you talk to people, and there's beauty to look at. There's There's enthusiasm to enjoy music, to just marvel at how they get that music while they're walking like for 5-6 miles. And I'm talking out of experience. Our son Vodarjan, he was in the band a couple times, USC band, had to go 6 miles from beginning of parade route. And we live right at the very end of the parade route. I mean, like a block from us is where the parade ends. So we see them at the very end. And, you know, like I'm saying, you're there for a lot of different reasons. Not everybody is there for the parade or the Rose Parade itself. They're there for a variety of reasons. And you can argue in the same way. The Transfiguration has taken place. But maybe Peter's point was that, you know, you need somebody. And he says that. He says, you know, I'm glad. Aren't you glad that we're here? We could build you some tents. Hey, somebody's got to do it, right? So this is not meant to be a judgment that this guy is like he's off his rocker or anything like that. We do things for different reasons, but you miss the point all the same, right? Now, these are kind of like out there kind of examples, but let's start looking at some of the examples of missing the point. How about just a simple one? Since we are a religious organization, we are a religious show. How about going to church? Yeah. Don't people have different reasons to go, and aren't all of those reasons legitimate reasons? They may not be the reason why I'm going. Somebody may go there to have a requiem for a father or a mother that has passed. I want to say a prayer. Is that so wrong? Well, it's not the reason why the church is there, but that's the reason why you're going. Someone else might go because, you know, I did something horrible in my life. And you could explain all you want that, you know, this is not about just doing horrible things and showing up at church. But it is the comfort for that person. So what we're finding out is that missing the point is, first and foremost, a subjective argument. Yeah, what's a point for me is not a point for you. But now we're going to get into some more deeper examples. And along the line of that transfiguration, missing the mark, missing the point. How about language? And I've heard this argument many times. In fact, it's very troubling for me when I go into churches and I hear the gospel being read in the ancient Armenian language, which is called Gerapar. Literally, it means the written language. It is an ancient language that is not spoken today, but it is the language of the church because all of the manuals, everything has been written in Gerapar. In fact, there's a guy in Etchmiadzin who writes Gerapar. In other words, there's new manuals that come out and they write it in the old ancient Armenian. But when you read the scripture, what is the purpose of reading the scripture? It's to make the point of getting that gospel message out to the people. And if people can't understand it, are you now becoming an accessory to the crime of missing the point? Ah, missing the point. Well, I can't understand it. Whose fault is that? There is a way of understanding, but you're not understanding it. Missing the point. Let's talk a little bit more right now about some of the bigger issues. We get into church and we have the Holy Divine Liturgy, the sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ is being shared. You've come to church that day. The priest says, "Take and eat. This is my body." As he's recounting the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. And then he recounts the words of institution and says, "Drink of this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant." And right then walks in a lady wearing a pair of $2,000 shoes. And everybody looks over. Did we miss the point there? I'm talking out of example, an example that comes out of reality. There's a lady, seriously. I don't know how this is done. I don't know how people could possibly pay that much for shoes, but I guess people do. But after church, a couple people, did you notice so-and-so? They had $2,000 shoes. You gotta wonder, wow, what are you doing walking around with that, right? But even more important was that these people who noticed those shoes missed the point of why we were there, right? Well, this happens more and more in our lives. As we get more and more complicated lives, we miss the point of what's the importance of it. I think COVID-19 made that point. Because we are now understanding that a point that's been made to us, that all of the tangible things that we have in our lives, all the material possessions, are not what it's about. That in the end, our soul has to be at peace with our Maker. And so spirituality has been on the uprise. Like, have you ever thought that there would be a day where people would be rising up and saying, open our churches? Bizarre, right? You think like, okay, not everybody needs church. Only the rejects end up over there. But wait, you're seeing now people are going, wait a minute, I want to go to my church. Just yesterday, the governor of our state here, California, announced that churches are going to be closed again. Whoa! There's a reaction of something like 3,000 churches that are signing petitions now saying, we are going to go in. We're going to defy your orders. We're going to go in and we're going to have our services. Who are you to tell us that we can't have our services? COVID-19, so what? We're going to do it. Isn't that interesting, right? All of a sudden, now we're realizing that we don't want to miss the point of what life is about. Life is not about these tangible things, but we don't want to miss the point. We've missed the point all these years, but now we don't want to miss the point. The other day, a 90-year-old guy called me and he says, where are you? I want to see you and everything. So anyway, long story short, I said, I'll make an appointment and come and see you tomorrow. Oh, please come and see me. So tomorrow morning, I was at the church. And I had told this gentleman that I'd be there like around noontime, come to his house and visit. He calls me like 11:30. Where are you? I said, I'm at church. I'm going to come. I'll be there by noon. He says, no, don't bother. He says, meet me at this restaurant. I go, what? Meet me at this restaurant. I'm going, wait a minute. Like, I'm thinking about wearing masks and going in, COVID, here's a 90-year-old man, I'm stressing, am I going to take anything to him, will I be exposing him? I mean, you got to see the things that I went through in preparation, the mask, the type of mask, so I wouldn't be carrier of anything, and here he is, he's wants to meet me at a restaurant. I said, I'm sorry, I said, you know what, I said, if you've got a ride to the restaurant, more power to you. I will call you at some other time. Now, think about it for a moment. That point, missing the point, depends on your age as well. More than age, it depends on where you are in your life. And for a 90-year-old guy, he's probably thinking, wait a minute, how much time do I have that I would be willing to just sit at home and count my days? You've got one life, let me go live it. It's quite different from, say, you know, a little kid, teenager, a young adult who says, wait, I have a whole lifetime ahead. Maybe I could be a little bit more patient with my life right now. I'll ride it out. I'll ride it out at home. I'm just saying, you know, different ways of looking at it. Who's missing the point? What's the point that's been missing? Now we're going to get to the big one, okay? And I know people aren't going to like this, but I need to say it. This Sunday happens to be the Transfiguration. People insist on calling it Vartavar. You know why? Because several hundred, if not thousand years ago, well, pre-Christian, right? This Sunday was referred to as Vartavar, a celebration of roses, Vart. Roses of Varel means to decorate. decorating with roses to the temple of Oslig. And this is our ancient past. Okay. Very nice. I hope you know where I'm going with this. That's what happened in the past. Well, today, for the last 2,000 years, has been known as the Transfiguration. Forget about 2,000. Say until the church settled and got the calendar and everything. Say it's 1,500 years. I'll even give you some more benefit of the doubt. Say it's been 1,000 years. Whatever the case. It's been generation and generation and generation, generations of people celebrating the Transfiguration on this day. Now, it may have been something in the past. And I don't even doubt that there was something of a celebration to Oslig that involved water and involved roses. But what's the excitement about it? Are we missing the point of what's happening during this day? I definitely think so. I see churches going overboard. Let's have a water fight. Do you know how many churches are upset that we are in a pandemic situation? Not because we're a pandemic, but we cannot have the water fights. We cannot douse each other with water. Take a chill pill, folks. Did you miss the point of what this is all about? I think so. I think so. We've missed the point completely. That this is not about some ancient pagan ritual. This is about the love of God, about God identifying himself with us, identifying himself as purity, as pure light, and giving us all an opportunity to live in that light. If there's any time in modern history, if there's any time in your lifetime where you felt like you've needed light, this is it. I know it. We're all feeling it. I get daily, I get people talking to me, writing to me about the depression, about the anxiety they're going through right now. Very, very difficult time. Tell me, in this darkness, what do you need? A little bit light, right? Or do you need a water fight? Do you need to be doused by water? Sure, I understand. There's a lot of fun in it, especially during the middle of summer. If you're in Armenia, wow, it's not only a hot day, it's probably a little bit humid too. You wouldn't mind getting water thrown on you. And yeah, okay, it's fun. It's cooling. It's nice. But did you miss the point? Did you miss the point of what this is all about? It's about something that can cool you in a much different way. It's this light, this energy that we all need in our lives, where we have forgotten about how important that spiritual light is in our lives. We have replaced it with all kinds of little things. And here's the interesting thing, why I make all these comments. The world is going through so much right now where they're trying to fill the void. They're trying to fill the void with all kinds of other things. I mean, what's the entire social media phenomena about? Think about it for a moment, right? We used to have neighborhoods. We used to have the nuclear family being surrounded by the extended family. Aunts, uncles, grandparents. There was always usefulness. There wasn't the idea of putting them away. No, there was usefulness to the end of your life. You were revered. You were in that household. And then what happens? Slowly, the family starts dwindling. We get down to the nuclear family. The nuclear family is also dwindling away. Now we don't even have neighborhoods. We don't even have something where, hey, you know, I need something. I can go over to my neighbor. You're scared to death of your neighbor. He or she may be some psychotic guy. Could be somebody who could bring harm to you. And so we're inside of our own little cocoons, right? Our own little nests. And so we're starving for that companionship. Well, guess what? Social media to the rescue. Yeah, we can be friends with people that we would never have had a relationship with. Somebody on the other side of the world is now my friend. And I could share with him or her some of my quirks. I could talk about my hobbies. I could talk about what interests me on television, what movies excite me, what's going on in my profession. I could interact with them on a variety of levels, as professionals, as friends, as movie buffs, whatever it is. I could join a group, I could join a club, and it's not limited by my geography. I could do that with people throughout the world. That's the phenomena. But underlying it is what? The phenomena that we don't have it anymore in reality. We've lost that. We've lost the concept of having family, of having community, of having neighborhoods, of a small little community being the building block to bigger communities, which includes our nation. This is why I tell you so many times that when we talk about Christianity, you've got to understand Christianity is not an individual religion. There cannot be one Christian. Christianity is about sharing. It's about community. It's about being out there. And I don't care what they tell you about that. The scripture says it very clearly. Not where one of you are gathered, I'm there. Where two or three of you are gathered. Where there is a community. Where you can do the work. St. Paul repeatedly says, when you have a problem, what do? You go to the elders of that community, of that church. Jesus Christ says, I leave you my body, which is the church. It's the formation of people coming together. And when you say like, oh yeah, I don't need the church, you're missing the point. When you look at a feast like Vartavart and said, yeah, hey, that's a fantastic day. We're going to go douse each other with water. It's missing the point. And the same is true when it comes to our world. When we start believing that each of us are islands unto ourselves, we're missing the point of what God intends for us. This is what's tragic about the world today. We're getting more and more secluded in our own little areas where we cannot imagine there are no countries. We can't imagine that. It's not easy if you try. It used to be easy, but you can't do that. You can't imagine. We all each have our own little corners of the world. We will defend, we will hit, we will strike to defend these corners. And the only way you can defend those little corners, those little quarters of what you have, is by creating, fabricating some kind of illusion that God is my God. And God has sanctioned me. God has sanctioned us. And God is not their God. Yeah. We've missed the point, haven't we? We've missed the point that God is all of our God. That everything on this planet is from God. And if you had not missed that point, what would you have? You would have peace. Yep. There it is. You would have peace. Because you'd understand that every one of us is created in the image of God. That if there are wars in this world, if there are misunderstandings, we are misunderstanding and we are fighting our brothers and our sisters. It's a difficult one. We're going to continue missing the point unless we start believing in our faith. Unfortunately, what happens is instead of understanding ourselves as spiritual beings, we bring in the secular. And once you bring in the secular, the only way you can address those issues is by going through the political, instead of understanding that there are concrete ways that our Lord Jesus Christ talked about each of us being an agent of that Christian teaching, we have to be out there to promote that peace, to promote harmony with one another. Don't miss the point this Sunday. I'm going to be back in a couple moments. Here's Susie to make her announcement.
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all of your support, all of your letters, those texts, those messages that you sent me, even the ones that come on that Viber. Yeah, Viber is kind of weird because on my phone it's set for a different kind of vibration. So when it comes in, I go, whoa, it's a Viber. It's from somebody I know definitely is not in the United States. That Viber is the giveaway. And I don't know. I don't have any. I see on the list that there's a bunch of United States people on Viber, but I guess there's so many other ways of communicating they don't use it. So we've got Viber calls, we got the Facebook. Yesterday I got one on the Facebook. Don't get too many of those, but somebody actually made a telephone call. And, you know, surprisingly, it was very good. The quality of it was very good. So I got a telephone call on the Facebook. Anyway, thank you very much for all of your support, your encouragement, your prayers. They go a long way. I want to tell you about a couple of things. One of them is that I saw this Monopoly game, and I ordered it. It's from Father Avedis, who's out on the Eastern Diocese, I believe is in Wisconsin. I'm not sure. I'm going to get the details and talk about it next week. It just arrived today. It's a Monopoly called Armenopoly. Yeah, an Armenian. So I won't tell you too much about it because I want to review it just by itself. It's a fantastic looking board. It starts off, well, where all Armenian things start off, Urartu. That is the go spot. And you go through the thing. Where would be the cheapest? The Baltic and the Mediterranean ones are, of course, Vernissage and Shuga. And, of course, what is the boardwalk? But Etchmiadzin. Oh, I love that. There are some fun moments on this board. I just received it, like literally 15 minutes before I walked into the studio. So I'm looking forward to trying it out, playing it. There's a lot of it, and I'll review it next week. Okay, I want to share that with you. But today, if I can, I'll make sure that we could put a link on today's show notes. If not, definitely next week we'll talk about that, okay? Number two, this Sunday here in California, we are under lockdown. I'm going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy at St. Gregory, Pasadena, California. And they have told me that it is going to be streamed on a YouTube feed. In whatever it is, we will make sure that it is available. And we will probably either tweet it out or we will make it available on Facebook. Somehow, check in with us over the weekend, and we'll have that we'll have that YouTube channel available so that you could join us remotely on this beautiful Divine Liturgy celebrated this Sunday, the Transfiguration, Vartavar. Yeah, and if you hear some themes along with what you've heard today, just remember, you heard it first here on The Next Step. There are some other exciting things going on, namely about with the ministry, about In His Shoes, and the expansion of our ministry. It is like mind-boggling at this moment. I haven't even had time to put the notes down. That's what I'm doing right after I get out of studio, turning this all over to Susie, and she'll produce it sometime this evening, and you'll have it. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. for you. Remember to check out the show notes to find out more information about things we talked about. And remember to connect with us throughout the week on all the socials. On behalf of our engineer, Ken, and Susie, our producer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.